April the 27th, 2023, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellence Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warafuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.drmirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran Surah 46, Ayat 9, this is no new thing. Islam, interfaith, Muslims. The Quran Surah 46, Ayat 9, Al-Islam, no new religion. The Quran Surah 41, Ayat 43, all prophets had the same message. The Quran Surah 10, Ayat 25, heaven home thou Islam. Al-Islam is not a new religion according to our holy book. The revelation from the God of all of us, Christian, Jews, Muslims, the revelation to Muhammad the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, who was an Arab and a citizen of Mecca. He was born in Mecca and made his home in Medina in what is now called Saudi Arabia. And that revelation, that book revealed to him by God, God says that this is no new thing, conceived revelation, and that Muhammad had not received the Quran, which is Al-Islam, the pure source of Al-Islam, as something new. But it is a verification and a confirmation, and verification supporting what had been revealed before, and also a completion on the revelation. We believe that with that Quran, the holy book, that Muslims follow, 1 billion of so now of us on this earth, with that revelation was concluded. That is revelation that would come from God in the form of a book and be left with the people as revealed guidance. We believe that that was the finality of prophethood also, that there would be no prophets like Abraham, Moses, Jesus, peace be upon them, coming with a book anymore that is the final book. Not that God wouldn't reveal to anyone anymore, but there would be no new prophets and no revealed books for humanity after the Quran. All religion is, in essence, is Al-Islam. And in our book, God also makes it clear to us, through Muhammad, to whom he revealed that book, he makes it clear to us that the Quran is the essence or the condensed form of major scriptures that came before. So Islam, according to our holy book, was the religion, or it is the religion of all the prophets. So we recognize Judaism, Christianity, and religion as religion. We see them in their essence, those religions in their essence as Islam. And Al-Islam simply means accepting the will of God to live by the principles of peace or by the rule of peace. Under God, that is to say, according to God's will, to live choosing peace, or as someone translated, put it, surrender to peace so that you will have peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with your fellow man. That is the meaning of Islam. And it is properly called in the Quran, the surrender to peace. Al-Islam, if you would read our holy book, an original language of our holy book, you would never read the word Islam by itself like that, just Islam. It is always Islam or El-Islam. The heavens call home of peace. God also says to us in our holy book that he is the peace. God himself is the peace. As-Salam is the name of God, one of the divine names of God in the Quran. God is the peace, As-Salam. His name is called. One of his names, many names, and we are also told that the paradise, the heaven that we are invited to work for and earn while we live on this world, live in this world, is the abode of peace, or it is the destination of peace. It is the destination that will be peace. Further, we are told that when we get in that paradise, those who earned it, therein will be their greeting, and their greeting will be peace. Salam, peace. Muslim definition. Muslim, our name is also taken from the word in Arabic, peace. We are Muslim. Means a person who has accepted al-Islam. It means that we have also accepted to be peace with God, at peace with ourselves and our own soul, and at peace with our fellow man, at peace with the creation of God too. So we believe that working, striving to have peace with God makes possible peace with our own souls. Pleasing and please, return to your Lord. This is Quran, return to your Lord. Enter you my garden, God says, enter you my paradise. Enter you amongst my faithful workers. Enter you my paradise. Question. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Imam. My question is in Quran. They say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls on Muslims and Jews and Christians to become Muslims. If they are already believers, then why is he calling them to become Muslims? Because the Quran is the best source of religious knowledge. Imam W.D. Muhammad, yes. Well, al-Islam is God's choice of religion, but we believe that all of the prophets came from God, and whatever the prophets brought came from God. And al-Islam is God's choice of religion, but we believe that the Quran has been protected against any alterations or changes, and therefore we as Muslims, we must insist that the best source of religion, of religious knowledge, is the Quran, and we invite everybody to become Muslim. Yes, we do. We invite Christians and Jews and all to become Muslims. Question. So the question about why are they believers? If Allah tells us to become Muslim, then why should they stay as they are? They are already believers. What's the difference? Invite the path. Invite to the path of God not to be Muslim. Imam W.D. Muhammad, no, a lot of Muslims are not believers. They are not all believers. So we are inviting everybody to the way of God. Now, if you notice, the language does not say invite the people to the Ummah of al-Islam. It doesn't say invite the people to be Muslim. It says invite the people to the path of God because there are others on that path. The Quran, Surah 46, Ayat 9, Quran, this is no new message. So we have to understand that Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, told his followers. And God tells us also in this book that what he gave Muhammad, President of Peace be upon him, is not something newly formed, but it is what was revealed to those who came before Muhammad, President of Peace be upon him, and a classification of what they were given from God and an explanation. We will know how to apply it in our time of life. So we will know how to see it and know how to apply it to our life. And it is conclusion, and that's what it's giving here. The Quran, the final frontier. So, and it is a conclusion, and there is a chapter that is translated conclusion, but it also translates the unity, which tells us that for al-Islam, unity is the conclusion. The Quran is revealed also to conclude matters, but what matters? Not the matter of our pop culture, necessarily. It doesn't address this kind of stuff. The matter of revelation, what has come to the people of God. From God is revelation. It came to conclude those matters. And the book that they received also tells them to expect the day when the matter will be concluded. So the Quran is a fulfillment of prophecy, and that was given to all the people of the book, telling them to expect the day when the matter shall be or will be concluded. Religion, Christianity, Judaism, and al-Islam are sister communities. The Quran, Surah 46, Ayat 9, Muhammad brought no new message. You would be surprised how much alike we are, what God asks of us as communities on this earth. Very much alike, although we have very, very sharp differences. Second revealed book. We share the Torah, the Gospels, and the Quran. We believe that the author of the three books is the creator of everything in the skies, human beings, all living things, the earth. If we share this belief in common, although those books are separated by their differences, for the three books have the same prophets, except for maybe one or two exceptions. We have the same prophets. So the three religions represents progression. The same human history, morally focused, the content material break bears striking resemblance. When you read the story of the prophets in the Bible, you read the story of the prophets in the Quran, you are getting the same names, the same prophets, all coming from one God. So the religions represent progression or a continuation, and that is exactly what Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, wanted us to know, that he did not bring anything new. He said, I bring nothing new. God told him to say this. Is no newly put together revelation. If it is a continuation and an explanation. So this is the nature of the Bible too. I'm a student of the Bible as well. If you read Genesis and you read from Genesis on up through the Bible, all the way to Revelation, you are reading of things that have occurred in the history of the human evolution, the evolution of the spirit and the intellect, the evolution of the spiritual life and the intellect, you are reading what occurred in the history of the evolution to the spirit and the mind, the intellect. So you are being influenced to choose righteousness over wickedness, to right wrong, for life over a immoral life. These books are the same in that respect. Islam emphasizes universal. Al-Islam, this distinct picture, is seen in its emphasis on universal emphasis on utilizing here, universal in the Muslim book, the Quran, and the same as you find in the list of universal appearing in early scriptures, sacred scriptures, the scriptures of the Jews and the Christians, the emphasis is there in those books also. But in the Quran, the emphasis is more sharply focused to get your attention to those universals. So we should not think of our religion as a religion in some bitter, better competition or an envious, jealous competition with Jews and Christians or with Judaism and Christianity. That is not the way to look at it. For missing it, if you do that, you are to see this as a natural growth. As man grows from the earth, the human family, that is. So when I say man, I mean the human family. As the human family grows on earth and experiences difficulties, has to learn and experience difficulties and make progress. The more progress we make and the more we are connected around the world, the more we venture out from our small quarters and connect with one another, the more we bring about a world that has to look at universal. So when people are separated like we were before discovering of this part of the world, not knowing these two big continents over here, North and South America, so we are not connected completely with our own self. The family of man not discovered its own self. Man had to discover himself in the various quarters of the world. But now that we have discovered ourselves in the various quarters of the world, if we now connect, and we have to be connected, milk and honey, the Quran, Surah 47, Ayat 15, wine, river, Exodus 3:8, milk and honey. 1 Corinthians 3:2, milk said, not meat, you're not able to handle it. So milk, blessings of nature, first light. So the higher meaning of milk and honey, milk comes naturally ready. Nature gives us milk. Now, an oppressive society denies us the blessings of nature. It denies us the first fruits of life that God has created us. God, without any effort of our own, has given us the first fruits of life, the milk from our mother's breast. Isn't that a great crime? God Almighty has put it in us to fight an oppressive society that will deny us the blessings of nature. Honey means results of collective work. Honey, since God is going to lead us to the land flowing with honey and milk. Honey doesn't come from the breath. Honey doesn't come without effort. Honey is the result of collective work, united effort. So the bees are united, working as collective whole. And they are busy. They are called busy bees, worker bees. The fruits of one effort is sweeter than milk. Ah. You can only feel what I'm talking about. But if you experience what I'm talking about, buddy, great forces begin to stir inside your organs when this kind of wisdom is brought out. Milk has a sweetness, but it is a mild sweetness. And softness, milk is nourishing, but honey is filling. You can take 2 tablespoons of honey and put it in 1 glass of milk, and you almost feel like you had a meal. It is more filling than milk and more nourishing than milk and more and much more sweeter. So you want the honey of life, then come on out in the wilderness with me. Forget about the great castles of Egypt and let us take the bare desert. Turn it into a great kingdom. The bare desert of our own resources, we have nothing. We have nothing. We are barren bare, like a desert. We don't have great wealth. We don't have great scientists. We don't have great theologians. They all are following the discipline of Pharaoh. But in this new leadership, in this community, you have a Moses that can show you how to get milk and honey, the blessings of nature, the reward of nature and reward of your efforts. This honey that comes as a reward of your efforts, the land that you work as a human, that you work as a community together, that you follow some kind of leadership, that you accept authority, follow a discipline. The bees follow a discipline. The bees work together. The bees accept the chain of command. You want to regiment us? No, indeed. Bees kill male leaders, meaning leadership isn't in one individual. The bee kills off the male leaders as a sign to the wise that the leadership is not in one individual. Leadership is in the collective body. After the queen serves her purpose, they get rid of her and get in a new queen who has new vibrant life. They aren't worshiping no individual. They aren't worshiping personality and individuals. They are respecting great leadership. The bigger male that can go there and knock that screen down and take care of business. But remember, after he do it, you are just a part of the system. Your exterior body falls down into the system. Your soul has gone into the bees, gone into the queen. You are going to see yourself in the new babies from that queen. But your own personality has gone away into the system of fertilizer. Oh, that's cruel. It's cruel when you see it in that content of the bee's life. When you take it as a sign of God and you see it in the context of man's social life, oh, it's beautiful. Identity in the interperson. What is my identity? My identity is not in my physical body. Throw it away. Get it away. The moment I impregnate you, community, with this knowledge, then throw my physical body out of your mind. We don't want my body. We want my germ. Once the germ fertilizes, don't look at me. Look at my germ. Do away with me as a person, as a body. But look at my germ. Now my germ is working in the nation, not just in Damascus. I've got followers under this shelter and outside of this shelter. The whole nation, the bees, impregnated. But here, under this shelter, we have a great column of bees. And we are making honey. And it is sweet because it is the work of our own effort. Now, work is the concern of the bee community and of each bee in its society. So the queen is working, bringing babies. Whenever she gets old, they can't perform that function well. The little young queen that is ready, full of life, to perform that job is put there, Brother Imam. When you stop producing the results of the work that I am doing, when I don't see the results of my work profit in your work, then you are becoming a queen that we ought to get rid of. We have to look for that imam that's full of enthusiasm, full of light. He's ready to reproduce my work profit over and over again. And if I should hear that you, in your master, telling the people to look at you, see me, I'm the man here, then you are worse because you did not impregnate the queen. And you are hanging around and you didn't even do the job. The man who did the job steps back and refocuses all eyes on the job instead of himself. Then what should you do when you did not even impregnate this community with the idea? Manna and quail is the milk and the honey in the desert. So it's a double crime on you. The whole hive should come out on you. When they get out of the when they get out in the wilderness, did they get the milk and the honey? You never read where they got the milk and the honey, but they got it. It came in another language, and God rained down manna and quail. So the manna and quail is the milk and the honey. And you Bible students will understand this. Well, I hope that the others will too. Manna, your individual ability to understand the teachings. Manna and quail, the book says, the manna fell down as a small thing. It looked like small upon the ground. It was a shiny thing, they say, told to collect it in the same day, for it will spoil if it's let out, if it stays out. And they were told not to leave it out until the sun comes up, because when the sun comes up, it will cause it to melt. It's talking about your individual ability to understand the teachings. God will bless you with insight and understanding, but if you don't collect it, the moment you get it, it won't have the same quality once you have to go back and think of it and go back and get it. If you have to go back and try to think of it again, and it gets what came to your mind as a thought and inspiration from God, you won't find it fresh and healthy and wholesome like it was before. Buried talent. And if you neglect to use that wisdom in your own personal life, when the sun comes up, it will vanish. Meaning that when God judges you, when the day of judgment comes, you won't receive any credit for it. It will be like you never received it. Why? Because you didn't take it in and apply it to your own life. It came to you. It rained down from the heavens. It was there for you, but you left it out there until judgment day. Judgment day comes and God gives you nothing. Say, God, where is my manna that you rained down on for me? He will ask, did you use it? You will say, no, I didn't use it. He will say, you don't have it then. It has also another meaning. It means that if you don't use knowledge when it comes to you, once the whole society is lit with understanding, then you won't have anything. The whole world is knowledgeable, and you are in ignorance. Your little idea, inspiration, that came to you has vanished and it's gone. Why? Because you didn't use it. If you had used it, it would have multiplied and your light would have been bright like the light of day. But because you didn't use it, it died without development. And when the society is lit, they don't even see what you received. And isn't that a tendency in many of us? To just take the teachings for granted and listen to it like a piece of music, wait until the next Sunday it plays. We don't take it into our own intelligence and apply it into our own human life and thinking to benefit from it, to grow with it. When the whole society has embraced the light of El Islam, they will be much further ahead of you. They will be enlightening, you will be still dark. that is still in the dark because you didn't apply the wisdom that came to you. Quail is like a bee, meaning man must make effort. It says that he rained down from the heavens manna and quail. Now manna, this thing came down. It just fell. It wasn't living matter. It just fell. Then he rained down quail. Quail is a bird, like a small pigeon. If quail comes down, quail is going to have to fight the hell out of the wind to keep from hurting themselves. And they are going to have light down. They are going to have to come down with some effort from their own power. So isn't this like the honey? And you see the connection. One milk requires no effort. I just teach you and it hits your ear. But then you are responsible to take up effort yourself. If you don't use, if you don't, you are going to come up short when the day of enlightenment comes. But the other one, quail, comes down with great effort, and it's for you. You can bring it, you can bring in the quail, but it is the great effort that we bring it this for. What is this effort? It is the ability of the imam to ride the winds of emotion, to ride the influence of the world and not be blown away by them, the ability to discipline yourself in the world or atmosphere, the influence of the world that doesn't come to you without great effort. The wisdom of the Quran is here, but it requires great discipline on the part of your leader. He has to be disciplined. I have to discipline my moral life. I have to discipline my emotional life. I have to discipline my spiritual life. I have to discipline my mind. I have to discipline myself. I have to learn how to discipline and control myself while I'm in the influence of the world. So the religious people, the good imams, they don't come to the people without great effort. They have to have great effort to cross the emotional nature of society, the spiritual influences of the atmosphere offer such great challenge to them that they have to beat the wind with their own efforts. Now, when that kind of person comes to us, we have managed to survive the temptation of the world and managed to teach it spirituality, flying through the wind of temptation and lust. Bird eating, it means to get discipline in yourself. So when it comes to us, oh, how sweet it is to us. Quail is a sweet bird. His flesh is sweet. And we would like to pluck his feathers and get to his meat and eat him. I want this discipline in me. I want to be able to fly too. I want to be able to battle the wind and yet reach my own course and own destination. You see, this is something we ought to desire. We desire knowledge, but we also want the spiritual discipline. Milk symbol, symbolic of spiritual discipline. Now, the milk that comes from the breast comes to give a spiritual discipline. We teach the child to be kind, to be clean, to be peaceful in his thinking and his action. We teach the child to appreciate mama and daddy, to appreciate goodness no matter where it comes from, and to be polite, to be thankful. Isn't this the first fruits of the breath? Did any great philosopher have to come and bring us that? Every human being gets that knowledge by nature. So it is the milk of the breast is very soft. It's easy to swallow. It's made for the baby. that kind of teaching is made for the baby. And the mother has it waiting for the baby as soon as the baby can listen, open his ears. In fact, the treatment that the mother gives the baby begins to give the discipline to the baby, cleansing him up when he is dirty, teaching him that he shouldn't be dirty, that he shouldn't stink, protecting him, teaching him love and compassion, answering his cry when he is hungry and thirsty, and thirsty him and gratefulness, gratitude, appreciation, you see. And then she begins to talk to him when he grows older and older, and he begins to learn from her, and she begins to teach him the language of the human being, right and wrong, etc. So this is nature. These are the first fruits of nature. So it is like a discipline. But look what it says of the manna, which tells you clearly that it is the honey. It says that each man takes what he can handle for himself and take it into his own house. Bees have represents conscience working with the essence of truth. Each bee makes his honey for his own home. You see, each man takes it into his own house, which means into his own home. Bees leave it off. But if the bee don't get to the hive with the pollen and whatever it collected from the flower, it won't be any good. It will go to waste. But if it takes it into the hive and the hive begins to work on it, what does the hive represent there? It represents your conscience. Take it in individual conscience, and it works with the essence of truth that you get from the teacher. Bees seal holes with wax, so it won't be polluted. And if you work with it, your own effort will produce from the essence of the honey, and when you taste it, it is sweet. You will enjoy it. Just getting the pollen is nice. It's exciting how the bees work. They just come out buzzing, and they go and they fly to the flower, and they work so enthusiastically with their feet and fly back to the hive, and each one goes into his little hole, and they are busy working. And when they get through, they seal it with wax. Why? Because God doesn't want it to be polluted. He wants to keep it pure. He doesn't want any other influence to reach the truth that he's got. So he sealed it with the wax. And it says in there, and it stays in there for a time. Is that right? And the bee is working in there. And the bees come out, fill it up in time. There is the honey ready, out, fill it up in time. There is the honey ready for eating. Very nice, very nice. He has worked, he has labored, he has brought it into his own conscience, contaminated ideas of the world. He has put it in pure and developed it with his own intelligence. He works with it, and he saw that this is more than just essence. This is food for my own substances. So this is something I can eat. I can live on this. Guess the aroma is nice, isn't it? I guess the bees smell like we do. Guess working with the pollen and smelling all that nice fragrance. So I guess that's just like spiritual excitement that you get. Teach, Brother Imam. Teach, Chief. He got a whiff of the pollen. He's cheap. Pollen, he's going crazy. But have the sense to fly back to your own conscience and in your own intelligence develop those ideas until you have a sweet substance for you, your own life. Quail is spiritual discipline. So that's the manner. But the quail, then it comes down. The people have to catch it. Isn't it hard to catch? Isn't it? It's a frying thing. You're going to either know how to shoot very accurately or you're going to have to trick that quail, get him in a trap, or you're going to have to be awfully fast with the hands when it comes near you. Catch him real quick. It's difficult to get spiritual discipline, very difficult. Father represents knowledge and wisdom. And when you get that ready to eat him, pardon me, feathers represent knowledge and wisdom. And when you get ready to eat him, you have to pluck him first, meaning that there is wisdom. The feathers represent knowledge. You're going to have to first take off the surface violence. You don't eat the feathers. The primitive people, the native people, they wear the feathers, but they don't eat them. You pluck off the feathers and get down to the meat. You took off the dress, the serpent language, symbolism, and you were blessed to see the meat. Ask what you want to eat. Meat, you usually wash it up, right? So you wash the meat up. You might season it, cook it. Then you eat the meat. All this has meaning. But we aren't going to deal with all of it, just the plucking and the eating of the meat. Feathers mean get to the heart of the matter. You pluck off the surface color that is usually symbolism, and you get down to the heart of the matter, the real knowledge. The Bible says that the milk is for the baby, but the meat is for the learned. You have to have teeth to handle the meat. So that tells us that really the knowledge that we need for spiritual discipline, the great knowledge, that discipline that will enable us to fight the influence of this world and yet reach our goal. The bird has to be able to beat the wind and reach his goal, reach his destination. So this kind of knowledge is not on the surface. It is under the surface. You have to pluck off the feathers to get to the meat. Now, dear brothers and sisters, what the church has offered us has been feathers. The church has offered us nothing but milk and feathers. No honey. They only give the students of theology honey. The membership gets no honey. Only the students of theology get some honey, and they don't get too much. Weak honey, watered down honey. The Quran Surah 48, Ayat 10, pledged to the prophet, Eli God. Elihin Nas means worship God. It is where you direct your devotion. When the man has been formed as a community and then he has formed a law and an order for that community and he sits on the throne representing authority, then he should have that whole community and government and its head worship God who has been in all of his developments to bring him from dust to where he is. So we have heard a caller calling saying to faith, believe in your Lord, and we have believed. See what intelligent man will believe in, not seasonal man, who will be here for 2 or 3 years, and they see another horizon and leave from there and go to another horizon. I'm talking about man who makes an alliance for life when they put their hands in the hand of the leader. It is not only their hands. It is the hands of their loins, their children and grandchildren to come. They are pledging their future to the leader for generations and generations to come. This is how they pledged their alliance to Muhammad. They were saying, as intelligent people of insight, that we have heard a man saying, come to faith, and saying, believe in the God who has evolved our matter from dead matter to become a social community of human beings. That's our creator who is also our evolver Lord. I can believe in that. I want to believe in that. Hand of Allah above all. The Quran, Surah 48, Ayah 10 to 18. Hand, Allah above all in oath. Al-Hadith, page 1307 and 100. Allah hand on group. Bukhari, page 147. Poor with compete with poor with compete to build tall structures. And I'll tell you the plain truth. Would you go crazy? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to you right now through Elijah, Elijah's son, and I'm not a prophet. I am no angel. I am Wallace D. Muhammad. The prophet, praising the peace be upon him, said, a sign of the end of the world will be that the poor people will be competing with the rich people in the building of skyscrapers. Isn't this a tall house we are building right now? We are building together a tall structure right now. And I think we can compete with the rich, can't we? Not the rich in money, but the rich also in knowledge. Please, don't repeat what I told you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking through Elijah's son. You don't want to repeat that. I have been under the tree where the followers of Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, took an oath, and they placed their hands on his hand, placing their hands on each other's hand, and their hands are supported by his hand. His hand was the first to take the oath upon him. They were told by God that the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the last hand. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also verified that oath was approved by him. The Quran, Surah 48, Ayah 10. Allah hand over all hands at the oath. So this is why I mentioned that I have a vision. I did. It was just like I was real. It was just like it was real that I was with the followers, Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, under the tree. When they made oath to him, they first one put his hand on his hand, and then they kept piling hands over hands. In the dream, I came in, and I put my hand there. It was a big pile of hands way up there, and I put my hand in there. And they just kept on piling them up. And the last hand is God's hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives in the Quran that hand, his hand, is above your hand. Prophet Muhammad could have destroyed other religions if he wanted to. They were pledging alliance to the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him. So they say even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approved it. So you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allies the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, but he didn't want to send him. He's going to back him up in everything. So after the power, their hands up, then God put his hand on top. Theirs meaning that their pledges alliance to the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, was approved by God. That is all that it is saying. And it was under a tree, the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, was a merciful man, a very kind-hearted person. And he didn't want to be in opposition to the scheme of God that existed before him and had to carry out by prophets one after another. He spread it, revealing what he knew would wreck Christianity, wreck Judaism. He could have destroyed all of it if he wanted to, at least expose them so bad until a lot of the people would have just turned away, not only from the Jews and the Christians, but they would have turned against religion. And he did not want that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want him to do that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, because he was at certain points in his life really fed up with a lot of things that they were doing. The evidence is in his life work, and evidence in the Quran too, that he was really burdened terribly by a lot of things that were going on that he had no nature for. But God would not let him hurt God's plan for his life, as the last prophet prays in the peace be upon him, and a mercy to all the world. God would give him understanding that gave him relief, prayers and the peace be upon him, always on the right path. No, the Quran says we found you straying, found you weighted down with burden on your back, and guided you. So he also was straying. In the Bible of Jesus, it says, is there any good in it? Not a one. Not a single one. Everybody has error or sin, even the prophets, the best of the people. The Quran, Surah 48, Ayat 14, Allah forgives, punishes whomever. So God has the power to whip us into shape. He uses all kinds of sticks. He can get you any place, any time. He can whip you mentally and perform morally and spiritually and physically. The Quran, Surah 48, Ayat 27. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks, Blog Talk Radio. The Quran, Surah 48, Ayat 27. Enter mosque to kill with shaved heads. Judges 16:17-9, Samson's seven locks. Judges 11:2-12-3, Mary washed Jesus' feet with hair. Tides cut the hair equals world can make deep-seated sensitivity conform to wrong guidance. The mind is secure when the senses are corrected, when man checks senses for fear of God, intuitive urge, intuitive perception, when he finds peace, your tendency to follow instinctive urges has taken you into extremes. It makes your hair short. Come from those extremes. Take off the growth and bring it down close to the nature. Don't cut nature off. Cutting hair in connection with taqwa means that they didn't give themselves to the influence of their own urges, control, shave wants, equal the inbound instinct of intelligent instinct. Can be made to behave out of its nature, and we have to sacrifice those inner instincts that aren't conforming to the pattern that Allah intended for life. Long hair is very unruly. It tangles all up. When short, it doesn't tangle. Taqwa. With taqwa, the inner urges are governed here it needs. Tina is clean, a clean, cleaner sense, can detect what the flesh doesn't detect. It is symbolic of intuitive sense. He hair raised on the back of an animal equal in that intelligent, inbound intelligence that wasn't learned in a book. Mary Magdalene hair. Hair is water. Another part brings on water. Pardon me. Another heat brings on water. Sorrow, repentance makes us cry. Mary Magdalene wiped the feet of Jesus with her tears. So this is deep-seated feeling. In us, sympathy. Tears equal warm water in a salt water. Some Christians believe intuitive sense is the Spirit of God. You're wrong. The human sense, creation. Mary Magdalene washed feet with her hair equals in the human, a ribbon wrapped the rib that checks that sensitivity symbolic of dormant intelligence. It feels what's right and wrong, but it's asleep. And sleeping person is insensitive, talking about blind sensitivity. That's not intelligent, that directed, nor managed. So it goes flatter about like hair. Hair also represents when a person runs, it looks like flames, passion that's unchecked, hair. Judges 16:17-9, Samson's strength hath cut seven locks. Hair, symbolic of religious knowledge, it comes with one color and with age becomes white. Religious knowledge comes to form in us. Light of understanding equals white. And it shouldn't turn white. In the end, it should come to you first like this. Seven locks hair. You need a key to open a lock. His strength was in that his knowledge was locked up, not exposed to others. Seven secret knowledge runs a course, then you repeat it. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 12, spy not. O you who believe, avoid suspicion as much as possible. For suspicion in some cases is a sin. And spy not on each other, nor speak ill of each other behind their back. Yes. Okay, very important question. Yes. Now that brings up another question. I'm going to answer the first that came up in my mind before I answer yours. Then I will come to yours. Now, in the Islamic society, those who are guilty of fornication or adultery in previous life of the mushrik, idolaters, once they convert to Islam, all that's forgiven. They wouldn't be seen as adulterers or fornicators. Okay. So that the first part of the question, the second part of the question is, how do we know these people are guilty of fornication or of adultery? We know because it has been brought to the public conscience. It has been brought to the public awareness. That's how we know. We are not to go spying on people or to dig up or to ask questions without evidence of knowledge that something exists. We are not to look for adultery and fornication. Adultery and fornication is supposed to be in our eyes. When we start to address adultery and fornication, yes, the right of privacy is very strong in Islam. That's not only an American right or a right of our government, and is very strong right in Islam. You are not supposed to spy on brothers. You are not supposed to spy on your sisters. You are not supposed to be suspicious of them. You are not supposed to act upon any suspicion. You are only supposed to act upon evidence that has been brought to the public awareness. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 12, you belong to those who you are supposed to be loyal to every other imam. Know that you join enemies of that Islam, Don't be hypocrites and deceived. Would you want flesh of the dead brother to be eaten? That's horrible sight, picture. Someone eating flesh of the dead brother. What does it mean? He can't defend himself. He's absent. You don't know what he's doing. God pitches you as savage beasts chewing before, devouring his good character. That someone changed pictures of human. Beautiful bodies, his living character, is the same in his absence. You are there chewing away on a good picture of his life. If it fire flames throwing hit him with death. Mukmin, faith. Mukmin from a root word meaning trust, faith. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Surely Allah speaks the truth. We will continue this next Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. inshallah. It only means if it please God. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Imam Dr. Miraj speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.